Today's June 5th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $71,163.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Back above 70,000.
Those are numbers I like to hear.
Me too.
Unless when you're going to buy it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't want to be buying at 70,000. You know, and we've talked about this before. Like, as this price kind of continually goes up, it's going to get harder and harder for people to just go in and buy a whole Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. Most regular people I know, that they don't just have $71,163 lying around.
No. Your average Joe does not.
And most rich people don't. They have all their money tied up, so.
Yeah, I mean, you get a little bit more flexibility sometimes, being rich, that you could leverage some things, but that's still quite a chunk of change. Like, even, we've talked about that, like, low multimillionaire kind of class, like, that's even probably a little bit of a struggle for them. Because say if, you know, even if you have, say you've got a whole bunch of money in real estate and some other hard assets and stuff like that, to cash that out and then to put it all into Bitcoin, you know, I'm not saying all of it, but you know what I'm saying? Like whatever they've liquidated at that point, to put it all into Bitcoin, that's kind of a big risk, depending on what somebody's appetite is at that point.
Yeah. Yep. But, I mean, at 71,163, I mean, we've had two theoretical buys. The first one back in October for $3,000, October 27th. That $3,000 is now worth almost $6,300,
$6,298. Yeah, so we're back above, because we've been kind of in this zone once before, like right after the ETF. Well, it wasn't right after the ETFs were approved. It was a little while after, right?
Yeah, it was like, you know, mid-March when it peaked, so we, you know, we got to that level when it hit roughly not quite 74, right, that all-time high,
right? Yeah.
But yeah, if we hit the 6300 before, and then we've crashed down, I would say crashed down, but we've gone down a fair bit, but we're now back above the $6,000 mark, so double your money. And then we did a second theoretical buy right at the halving, which is basically, I mean, right at $64,000, we assumed you put $1,000 in. And right now, it's not a huge gain, but I mean, it's pretty decent, 10%. It's
10%.
$1,000 is now $1,113.
That's still, typically, you'll beat the stock market with any given year. Because I want to say, on average, your return on the stock market's only about 6 to 7%. So
that's assuming you pick correctly, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, looking at a 10% gain within 2-3 months, right? Or 2 months? What was it, April?
April, I think, 19th or 20th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a little over a month and a half. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. And, of course, you know, we've seen that there's been a whole bunch of, I don't know, the momentum in the market can shift so quickly. And I mean, you felt like there's been a positive swell for a while, but you're starting to feel like there's a major shift going on. And I think we saw the second highest volume in the ETF flows yesterday.
Yeah, almost 900 mil. Is it 900 million bought purchased?
Yeah, yesterday? Yeah. And what did you break that down to? Because we started to break down the numbers. Like, what is that within the daily issuance currently of Bitcoin?
Okay. So I took that number and just assumed it was about 70,000. And that comes out to roughly 12,600 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So just that's how much the ETFs gobbled up that day. And the daily production rate is 450.
Yeah.
And the multiple, it basically gobbled up 28 times the daily production in that one day.
In that one day. And I mean, we've already seen where the numbers are showing that they've actually accumulated over 1 million Bitcoin not, you know, we're not talking about dollars, but 1 million Bitcoin within the first 4 or 5 months that they've been in existence with these ETFs. And something that we knew was going to happen, and real quick before we move on to that, like if you look on the far side, so for those of you that are at home or if you're online, you're just curious. If you go to the Farsight Investors, there's a Bitcoin ETF flow table, and you can say even Grayscale is showing positive purchasing between yesterday and today. Did you notice that on there?
Yeah, that's not something you see very often.
No, they're not. They're not bleeding out anymore. Like they're getting to where, like it seems like it's starting to stop a little bit. We had, you know, a pretty big increase on Friday. You know, from them, there was a big outflow that took place, but it seems like maybe some of that's starting to shift. And we still don't have what IBIT did today, but we do know officially that now BlackRock is the largest holder of a spot Bitcoin ETF. They are now sitting on $20 billion worth of Bitcoin as of Wednesday, and Grayscale is now sitting on $19.7 billion. So they have completely flipped that over on them.
It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
Don't think I'm necessarily a fan of that, but it's interesting.
Yeah. It's crazy. So since going live in January, investors have poured $16.5 billion into IBIT and have withdrawn $17 billion from the Grayscale fund. So it's almost gone directly into BlackRock. Almost one to one.
Can you blame them?
No.
Especially if Bitcoin does the rocket ship that everyone's expecting. I mean, you're going to be just paying that much more fees if you leave it in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're looking at that 1% fee, when you're looking at, BlackRock is doing an amazing job of charging you hardly anything. But, I mean, realistically, it's not costing them anything to own it. I mean, other than the purchasing fees or whatever from wherever they get it from Coinbase. But, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're getting a bulk discount.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are, too. Like, they're probably like, oh, yeah, no, we own a lot of stock in your company, by the way.
Exactly.
So, I mean, everybody's waited with bated breath to see what's going to happen. There's, you know, we talked about that a couple episodes ago where, you know, what states are going to start putting it onto their pension account. You know, we've seen a couple start to appear. And I think basically game theory comes into full effect where these places are like, well, look at the returns that they've made. We've got to buy into this to be able to match that type of return.
Yes. No, I mean, there's a huge potential of money for large institutions to go in. And, you know, when it comes to state pension managers, I mean, those are pretty big funds.
Yeah.
For all the public employees, it's not a small thing. And Wisconsin was the first. But when other people look around and see what's happening, I do think you're going to see a lot more people going, wow, we got to do that too. So.
Was it Wisconsin or Wyoming?
I thought it was Wisconsin. Let's see. I don't know. If it was Wyoming, I mean, I apologize. Wyoming.
I can't remember. And it could have been Wisconsin. I know it was a W. I know you're right on that.
The only two W states we have. I'm going with Wisconsin.
Or Washington.
They're not a real state. They're Taz.
I can't remember. Let's move on from that. I can't remember which one it was. Go back and listen to one of our previous episodes. We talked about it there. It was Wisconsin. You're right. Yep. My bad. You're right. April, May 14th, $100 million worth. But that's the thing, though, as that can kind of continues, those other states are going to have to get on board.
Yep. Well, heck, even Wisconsin's probably going to put some more on the table with how much they've gained recently.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, considering that, yeah, they bought May, or I mean, that was announced in May. They bought 94,562 shares of BlackRock's IBIT.
No, it's a big deal. And, you know, when other people, it's kind of a monkey see, monkey do mentality. I mean, that's just human nature. We are kind of a herd animal. We see other people do something, we're going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially whenever it's something that's mutually beneficial, right? Like everybody wins when the price goes up.
Right.
Except for the people that didn't play the game, right?
That's right. Or when everybody starts losing, then that kind of vicious cycle picks up some steam as well. So
yeah,
it's a double-edged sword.
So, and like right now I'm seeing a report saying that Bitcoin will explode if bulls break the fuse at $72,000.
I disagree. I think that fuse is higher than 73. Once it passes the, you know, the most recent all-time high at March 14th, and what was that, 70,000 or 73,800 roughly?
Yeah, 73, like 849, something along those lines is the kind of the previous high with that. And I agree with you. Like, I think we need to get back above that. We need to have a positive break above that and stay above it. Because I think you had mentioned that, like, we were talking about that before. We had that kind of inverse head and shoulders, and you're like, we're going to hit a lot of... I think you were talking about resistance, like the $73,000 to $74,000 range, and you know it's very possible that we will. I wonder how many people will try and be like, oh, I'm selling at that point, or you know, how many rich people are going to be like, oh no, we need to back up that boat a little bit. We weren't ready for it to take off.
The market, you know, the group psychology does its own thing, you know, so. I mean, realistically, just even getting to this point, 69 still is a pretty big psychological barrier for the market. The previous all-time high back in, what, October, November 2021?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it took them a while just to even cross that hurdle. It might take a little bit to cross to 74 territory. So.
Yeah.
But usually this second leg in the bull run historically in Bitcoin has been the crazy one. This is when all new, you know, the price discovery happens and craziness ensues.
Yeah. And one of the things to keep in mind, like people always question, you know, should you really just hodl or hold, you know, but what it comes down to is that these gains that happen in Bitcoin, they'll happen in just, you know, a matter of a couple of weeks. You know, it's not consistent growth all the time. When they happen in very explosive moves. So if you're not on that train when it takes off, you're going to miss it.
You're going to get left behind.
Yeah. I mean, and who knows with this cycle? I don't know if we'll have a you know, super cycle. We've talked about this. I don't know if we're going to have a typical cycle or if it's going to be a super cycle. I don't know for sure. But I do know that, you know, what we're looking at right now, like if we end up going way up to where we get to, you know, $120,000, $150,000, if we kind of repeat in the same cycle that we've seen before, this will be kind of become where we're sitting at right now will become the new kind of floor is in this range.
Yep. Well, and the good news is, like you were talking about, it's really about the time, the hodling. I mean, if you can buy and then hold for 4 years, you're going to be sitting pretty, yeah. Even if you bought at the top.
Yep. Yeah.
Granted, there will be a couple of years where it's pretty bleak and you're going to feel pretty dumb.
Yep.
But if you just hold on, historically, it's always gone back up. So
you got to just be that Wilson Phillips, right? Hold on for one more day.
For one more cycle.
For one more cycle. Yeah, for sure. It's crazy. I mean, Bitcoin ETF flows on May 28th. You know, that wasn't all that hot, but there was a lot there. And Grayscale sold out, you know, a negative $105 million that day. Meanwhile, iBit bought $102 million that day. Like, it's been kind of interesting to see those flows just moving from one account to the other.
No, it's nuts. Yeah, basically, BlackRock has been laughing this whole time.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, Grayscale, I mean, what they bought it at, when they bought it sometime, like, right after the crash of 2020, like, the pandemic crash, right? So, they bought it at a really good price.
Well, actually, I think Grayscale started buying, it was during the pandemic pricing, yeah. It was like, they started accumulating during that whole time. So, it was right after that 3,000 markdown. And man, I wish I would have loaded up the bus at that point too. You know, and that's kind of an interesting metric too, to see what those people that just took their stimulus and put it directly into Bitcoin and held that whole time. That's not a bad one either. That was a pretty good one.
No, so that's a pretty good one. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, moral of the story is no exposure is not what you want. You want to have a little bit of exposure to Bitcoin right now. At least get to 1 million Satoshis if you can.
Agreed. And whatever you do, just make sure it's not zero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's not financial advice, but it's some advice, some sort of advice, some way, shape, or
form. It's just, I mean, we're not saying put your whole thing in it, but you know, you should probably diversify a little bit. Bitcoin, I think, is a pretty decent diversification. I'm not going to say anything about the other cryptos. I don't quite hold them in the same regard, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, and I mean, what's going to happen when Bitcoin hits 1 million? Say in 2030, like Cathie Wood and all them kind of predict, is that we'll be at $1 million in 2030. Like at that point, people are going to look at the people that have Bitcoin and like even the altcoin, they're going to be like, oh, you just got so lucky. It's like, no, you had to go through a bunch of hell to get to that point.
Yep.
It wasn't so lucky, so easy. And at that point, that's when they're going to want to buy it. Did they want to buy it at 3,000? No. They want to buy it when we kiss 58,000? No. They're going to wait and want to buy it when it's at like $1 million, $100,000. $100,000, can you imagine what people are going to be doing at that point? They're going to be buying like crazy.
Exactly, because they feel that they missed the bus.
Mm-hmm. That FOMO is going to be for real.
Yep.
So.
Interesting times.
Yeah, and we will get another episode out to you guys here pretty soon, and once, especially when we get CPI numbers and those types of things. We'll see what the weekend kind of brings. Rick kind of put out a great little newsletter the other night. So, I mean, always make sure you're when you get a chance, sign up for that.
Yep.
And that way you can stay on top of that. And then those of you that are interested in self-custody, when you do sign up for that, we do give you the self-custody checklist, just kind of as a little warm blanket to help you out as you're going through that journey.
Absolutely. And we are working on the BitByte, or the, not the BitByte, but the BitByte website. We're working on the Bitcoin basics, some just informational stuff. And I'm kind of writing some different things with the newsletter, giving you guys an early peek at what we're going to put on the website.
Yeah, awesome. I'm really excited to see that too. So
right on.
Cool. Thank you all for listening.
Yep, thank you.
Bye.